The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
You know, we were picking up on things, family was, people close to us that were around her a lot, that something wasn't quite right. You know, she wasn't coming out of that newborn stage. She was always keeping her eyes closed or looking down. She wouldn't use her arms. You never could get into her line of sight. She never would ever look at you, even at, you know, an age where she should have been. Just absolutely no recognition that there was anything in front of her. I kept asking the doctor. I was like, you know, something doesn't seem quite right. And then they finally started to see what we were talking about, and it prompted some testing in realizing that my little girl was not going to see the world that I was able to see.
We never know the level of our faith until we come up against a storm in our life. Is our faith strong enough to stand up against the battle, or does the battle knock us down again and again? Well, coming up next on Sought Out Radio, we share the trial of Emily and Matt Small, who live the life of enduring trials, one after another, in the everyday routine experience of trying to start a family. Do we have what it takes when the overwhelming battle of our emotions wash over us? We'll find out, because that's coming up next right here on Sought Out Radio. And we welcome you back to Sought Out Radio. I'm your host, Mark Grote. Thanks for joining us. Last week on Sought Out Radio, we introduced you to Matt and Emily Small of Bellingham, Washington, who shared part one of their testimony of heartbreak and trying to simply raise a family. Early in their marriage, Emily became pregnant and suffered through three terrible miscarriages before breaking through and being able to conceive and have her first child. But what we soon learned from Emily is that that was only the beginning of their trials. If you can imagine, things got even harder, this time for them as parents. So let's pick up our discussion where we left off last week after Emily had her first child following three miscarriages. When we left off, Emily was sharing one of the few bright spots in the journey of finally being able to go full term, and what a joy it was. But little did they know what awaited them, and it was that kind of drama that began to steal their joy. Even more difficult times would soon follow. So let's hear what happens next on Sought Out Radio with part two of our three-part series in the testimonies of Scott and Emily Small.
It was amazing, actually. It was, but also in some ways, it also made the previous miscarriages more of a reality. Once I was actually holding a child of mine for the first time, it really brought those miscarriages back of realizing this is what was inside of me, you know, the previous three times as well. It was such an amazing day when she was born, and just, you know, actually having a baby to hold, that was just so wonderful.
Wow, that is powerful. You know, the fact that you have up to this point three little ones that one day you will meet.
Yes.
And but now you have a little baby that's in a sense representing the other three, and but this one you've got to raise.
Yes, exactly.
That's when you're holding.
Yes,
awesome.
Yes.
It was wonderful. Oh, I think I never let Matt hold her until she was like an hour and a half old, if I recall. I wouldn't put her down.
Oh my.
So did you guys decide at some point after Kathleen Rose was born that you knew that you were probably going to try to have another one after Kathleen?
Yeah, we had wanted to have our kids close in age. So we were hoping it would happen fairly soon, although, again, not exactly planned. But we got pregnant again when Kathleen was, let's see, I guess she would have been about 9 months old. And
so found fairly out quickly.
Very quickly. We were wanting the kids to be less than 2 years apart. So we wanted close in age. And also, too, I was just, you know, kind of, I was trying to be realistic, but then also realizing God is in charge of everything, but I didn't know if there would be more miscarriages and, you know, maybe we wouldn't get a second as quickly as we were hoping. So we started trying pretty early, and got pregnant when she was 9 months. And that one, I would say, was probably the hardest miscarriage we had. We actually didn't know we were pregnant. And I went in for just a regular doctor's appointment, and they asked a couple questions about something, and they were like, is there any chance you could be pregnant? And I was like, no, I don't think so. But they were like, well, let's just do a quick pregnancy test. I was like, oh, okay. So they did the test, and it came back positive. So I was so excited in the doctor's office. I was texting my husband, and I was like, you know, all excited. And then I erased the text because I was like, oh, no, I got to tell him in person. And then the doctor came in. About 20 minutes later, and she's like, you know, she's like, I think we need to do a couple more tests. And I was like, okay. And we did a few more. And that's when she realized that I had actually already miscarried, but I had not had the miscarriage yet. And I think that was the absolute hardest miscarriage, just because we had a moment in time where we were so elated, not even having known we were pregnant, only then to be told that, no, we were going to start a miscarriage. And that was very, very difficult. And I think we were about, I think about 6 weeks with that one.
Well, that, it's almost like that dropped you on your head, didn't it?
It did. Yeah, because up to, at that point, I had no idea I was even pregnant. And then to find out there at the office that I was, and the doctor was all excited, and then she suspected something wasn't quite right, and did some more evaluations and realized that I was miscarrying.
So you went sky high only to be dropped hard on that
yes.
one. That,
Yeah, that was really hard for me.
Right, that has to be so hard.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I know that at this moment that there are some that are listening in our listening audience, and they're going step by step with you as they are, have been experiencing some of what you have themselves.
Yes.
And to hear how you've continued, I mean, to feel as any mommy would, and yet your strength has been on the Lord, that's always been there for you, not lessening by any moment, by any meaning, any stretch of the imagination, the pain that you went through. And I know that there might be, by now, some that are already experiencing some tears coming down their cheeks as they're listening to your story.
You know, and Herb, it, you know, I felt always very, pretty peaceful when I was pregnant. But then the reality side of it is, too, that the grief would hit at unexpected times for me. You know, I would think after a miscarriage I was handling it well. And then all of a sudden you'd hear a baby cry in a store and you would just fall apart because it was like that cry reminded you of the pain.
Yes.
Or you'd see another pregnant friend, and it wasn't that I didn't want my friend to be pregnant. It was just realizing what I had lost. Or even just a magazine of a pregnant lady on the front. I mean, the grief would hit at the most unexpected times. And I think that that was the hardest part of the journey of the miscarriages, was feeling really great going to the grocery store, and then all of a sudden something reminds you, and you just would plummet so low. Even though I felt like I had a lot of faith in God when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a grieving process that nobody tells you what to expect.
So Emily, how many more pregnancies turned into miscarriages after Kathleen?
Two. So we had the one when she was 9 months, and then we got pregnant again very quickly again after that, a couple of months. Let's see. Yeah, when she was 12 months, we were pregnant again, found out we lost that baby very early as well, I think around 5 weeks. And then that's when my brother suggested I go get some prayer and just get some prayer and help the Lord encourage my heart through this process.
So tell us a little bit about that. How did you connect with Sought Out, and what was God saying to you?
So my brother, my older brother, encouraged me to go to the Home Encounters with him. And he just really felt it could really encourage my heart to just have some prayer over the losses, but then also for prayer to be able to conceive again and maintain a pregnancy to full term. So at this point, I was ready to try anything. You know, I was, you know, of course I believed in the power of prayer, and I really needed somebody to come alongside me and just pray for me and to encourage me, and also to pray that this would happen, that we would be able to carry a baby to full term. So I went with my brother, and my husband stayed home to take care of our other little one, and went down, and I was so nervous. I was so nervous. I had never been to anything like this before, and I told my brother I had to stand in the back, you know, just so I had a way to get out if I needed to.
To get out.
Sure, yeah.
You know, Herb does have that effect on people sometimes.
I had to be in the back. But then as the night went on, I got a little bit more comfortable, and was starting to see a lot of neat things going on around me. And then throughout the night, I was able to go up, and Bethany, I met her for the first time, and she prayed an amazing prayer over me, and several other people did as well throughout that evening. And there was so much encouragement I received that night, probably some of the most amount of encouragement I've ever received in my Christian walk right to this date. And it just really helped me to just hang on and to not give up hope, to continue to trust God that this could happen. And just, it was amazing. I left there with so much hope. I had to call my sister and tell her all about it. I had to tell my husband all about it. I just felt so hopeful after that and being prayed for. It was a wonderful feeling.
Wow.
Was there anything in prayer in particular that was spoken over you that others didn't know? Just curious about that detail.
Yes, there was actually a lot of things that were prayed over me that night that in detail that other people would have had no way of knowing about me or about my life, which that in itself was so encouraging because I realized it was only God that could have put that on their hearts. You know, there was no way they would have known some details, and it was awesome. It was I can't even explain how incredible that first home encounter was for me, and the ministry that was shown to me.
Emily, I remember your brother talking to me prior and saying that you would really love prayer to get pregnant, but I don't believe I knew that you had miscarriages.
Correct.
When we prayed that first time, and I had several women, we were all praying for you. But help me remember if I'm remembering correctly, because I remember something rose up in me as we were praying with you, five or so of us. And I said, Emily, I have faith that God's going to have, you're going to have a baby that's going to be carried to term. Do you remember me saying that?
And yes, you did say that. You also said you were praying for me to conceive. And I remember you saying, I think it's going to be soon. And you're like, I'm pretty sure this is going to happen very, very soon. And of course, it did about a couple weeks later.
I don't remember that part. I remember this thing, you know, when God puts something in your heart as you're praying that just rises up. And you're not making it up. It's not your good idea, but something rose. And I was like, I just felt like something needed to be taken from my spirit to your spirit, that you would be encouraged that God was going to do this and that you were going to carry to term. And I didn't know about your miscarriages. I don't believe. That is so cool that God did that.
It was amazing. It was an awesome night.
I could see why that would be so powerful.
Yes.
We were just so privileged to pray with you that night. Oh, and it was so exciting when we heard that you were pregnant. And then we got to pray with you through your 9 months. You know, we continue to pray for you.
Yeah.
Emily, just tell us quickly, after you go away from prayer, you've filled with hope, what happens?
Came home. I was so excited to share everything with my husband since he hadn't been able to come. I just kind of went into more of a peaceful place of just, you know, I was excited. I was really excited to see what God was going to do. It was like I felt like I was waiting for something. It was like I just knew God was going to do something, and I was so excited to see what it was. And sure enough, a few weeks went by, and I can't even remember how it all came about, but I did not find out that I was pregnant with our now baby Kirsten until I was about 6 weeks pregnant. And the doctors were so baffled of how I could even be 6 weeks pregnant because I'd had a miscarriage. And at first they thought, well, maybe she's a twin to the baby I had lost. And for a few weeks in there, they weren't sure because the timetable was so close. They had a hard time figuring out what my due date would be.
Wow. So yeah. What Bethany said really had accuracy in the fact she said it's going to happen soon or quick.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So much so where the doctor was confused and they were like, we don't really have a due date yet because we're not really sure how far along this is. But but yeah, I was 6 weeks along and they did show later that it had not been a twin to the previous baby I had miscarried. But yeah, I found out at 6 weeks and it was very exciting. I felt very peaceful because of having had the prayer that this baby was going to stick and it would stay. And sure enough, it did.
There you go. Praise God.
So amazing. So you go through three miscarriages, have a child, you go through two more miscarriages, and you have another child. And now you have two beautiful girls today. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, we do.
But tell me, there was something about Kirsten that you guys had questions about. What were those things?
We found out that she had some significant health issues shortly after she was born, and just the most incredible journey of praying for healing and seeing a tremendous outcome in her life.
What can you share some of those things? Just what you were dealing with?
Certainly. There were some issues when she was born that really made her entire birth process an absolute miracle, that she was born safely. And then when she was about 9 weeks old, we found out that she was only seeing light and dark and nothing else. And basically we're told that she was blind. And now at 16 months old, she is not blind.
So Kirsten, or about Kirsten, Emily, you, when you were giving birth to Kirsten,
yes,
went into prayer right there in the delivery room, didn't you?
I did, which is very unlike me to do in a public place like that with all non-Christian doctors and nurses.
And you didn't care. You just started speaking out in prayer, didn't you? Tell us a little bit about that.
I did. It was the last few minutes before she was born, and I had a very, very quick labor. Got to the hospital less than an hour before she was born. And the last few minutes, I just felt very intensely I needed to pray, and I needed to pray out loud and strongly. And here I am the last few minutes of birth, and I am praying, and I'm telling Satan to get away from my baby, and that I kept praying the promises that I felt God had given me for this baby, that this baby would be born, that this baby would be complete, and that this was a gift from God that I was meant to hold. And I remember praying out loud what I thought those promises were, and that Satan had no place to be in this delivery room. And the doctors had no indication during my short labor that there was any issues with the baby. And just 4 minutes after she was born, her umbilical cord broke in half. And it surprised everybody because we had no idea that there was a problem. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, she was born, so she was out, so it had no impact on her.
Wow.
But had that happened just a few minutes earlier when she was inside me, it could have been a very different outcome.
Boy, I tell you what, that's intervention.
Yes.
And you had the anointing of God touch you So you would cry out on behalf of your child. Mm-hmm. And that intercessory anointing that God gives for breakthrough and for safety, in this case for your little girl. What a powerful, powerful story that is.
And to encourage parents that, fathers and mothers over their children, that there are moments where you rise up and you intercede for your children, even if it, you know, it's not a pregnancy situation, but, you know, Holy Spirit directed, and stand for your children. That's really a God-ordained thing for parents. That's awesome.
Definitely. So she was born into intercession, and yes. I encourage you know, you as parents, not to let that be the last time she experiences that.
Yes. And absolutely. We actually chose her middle names for her after she was born that we had not planned on, but we wanted something to represent our journey in our praying for her to be conceived, the pregnancy, the protection at birth. And so we chose the two middle names, Victoria Faith, to represent that she was victorious in the Lord, and that we really had to have a lot of faith through our pregnancy. And so we chose those as her middle names to just kind of honor God through that process that he took us on with her.
Amazing.
Well, I tell you, you're gonna need wisdom with both of those names into the future with her, because she's going to be a firebrand, isn't she?
Yes. And we didn't realize at birth. I kind of thought, you know, it was done and it ended. You know, we'd gone through the hardest stuff, and little did I know that the hardest stuff was yet to come, where her name was going to take on even more meaning.
Uh-huh. That's right. And it will continue to define itself in the years ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, explain a little bit about that.
We knew early on, we were picking up on things, family-wise, people close to us that were around her a lot, that she, something wasn't quite right. You know, she wasn't coming out of that newborn stage. She was always keeping her eyes closed or looking down. She wouldn't use her arms. You never could get into her line of sight. She never would, you know, ever look at you, even at, you know, an age where she should have been. You could swing toys in front of her and she didn't even know they were there. Just absolutely no recognition that there was anything in front of her. She just was not responsive at all to things around her. And at all of her doctor appointments, you know, like a 2-week checkup, 3-week, I kept asking the doctor, I was like, you know, something doesn't seem quite right. And they're like, well, she'll snap out of it. And then they finally started to see what we were talking about as she started to get older, and it prompted some testing. And that's when they realized she was only seeing light and dark. And that was at about 9 weeks.
Wow.
And then what happened?
You know, first response from my wonderful family was, let's get her in for prayer immediately for healing. Let's get it in immediately. So yes. So in one sense, there was this deep, deep sadness of, right, what is my little girl going to face? But then at the same time, I felt like God could do something. I was excited to get her in to be prayed for healing, and I wanted to see what God would do. So it was definitely a mix of emotions during that time, but we got her in, I believe, the same week as all of that happened, and had some intense prayer over her and her eyes, and that in itself was such an amazing experience, what was prayed over her. But it was pretty devastating when they told us that. I remember going through a few hours worth of just total, such deep grief, in realizing that my little girl was not going to see the world that I was able to see.
Can you imagine how devastating it would be to go through so much as a mom, to have more than twice as many miscarriages as children, and then to be told that your child is blind and may be neurologically impaired? It's hard to imagine the impact that those words can have to any new parents, and by themselves, they can seem like a sentence. But we can respond, we can fight, we can pray, and we can most of all stand on faith and pray and believe. And when we do, the Bible says, we can say to that mountain, be moved, and it will be. Unfortunately, we have to leave it right there for today. If you want to hear what happens to Matt and Emily Small next, you'll have to tune in for part 3 of the Small's testimony and hear what happens to this Christian couple and their two beautiful daughters. Be sure to tune in next week for the conclusion of the testimonies of Matt and Emily Small. Turning our attention to our calendar, April is not only known for bringing April showers, it's also known for bringing us two more sought-out home encounters. Who knew? On April 17th, we'll have a home encounter in Stanwood, and then a week later, on the 24th of April, we'll have a home encounter in Shoreline. Both events are on a Sunday and start right at 5 p.m. For details, just go to our website at isoughtout.com and follow the links for events. Remember, Sought Out Global is active on social media. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter for updates on happenings with the ministry or our meetings as they happen. To find out, just go to either Facebook or Twitter and search for Sought Out Global. Well, I'm afraid we're all out of time. For Herb and Bethany Marks and for Emily and Matt Small, thanks again for joining us. Be sure to join us again next week right here on Sought Out Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at soughtoutglobal.com.